It's another episode of the Nerdcast, and we're opening old school style because we're not starting until we give you the warning. Spoilers, spoilers, and spoilers. That's right, we're talking Avengers Endgame, and there are spoilers ahead. So if you have not seen the movie, one, we've given you a week, two, you can always pause the podcast and come back to it later. And if you haven't seen the movie and you're listening to a podcast called The Nerdcast, well, you're just not doing life right.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to The Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to The Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
It's Adam, Adam, Tyler, and Iggy all here. Bob is out again this week. Man, Bob's just working like crazy, not joining us. How are you guys doing, though?
Doing very good. I mean, somebody's got to earn the money to keep this thing on the air.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm going to give him that credit since he's not here.
Tyler's looking at us, but I don't know.
Sorry, I was trying to click the unmute button and I accidentally hit the speaker view button and everything went weird.
Okay.
Snape kills Dumbledore. Is that what we're doing?
Yes. Spoilers. Exactly. So it's
pretty much
episode 192. It's our Endgame recap. We did all see Game of Thrones too, but we already got that discussion out of the way before recording. So that way we're not spoiling multiple things for you. But do go see that if you haven't seen it as well, because damn. And Endgame. Damn, that's all there really is to say about it. Let's just dive right in, guys. We've got Easter eggs to talk about. We've got spoilers to talk about. We've got box office records, like smashing records to talk about. And we've got a whole lot of action to talk about. So what'd you guys think? Endgame? I mean, we all loved it, but to what level did you love it?
A very high level. I mean, I think it's remarkable. So you get the first Avengers. We talked about how amazing it was that they were able to bring that, you know, that whole cast together and tell a coherent story that touched on those couple of movies that came out before it. And we kind of remarked that Ultron did the same thing, but, you know, nothing crazy there. And then you get Infinity War and it's like, oh wow, this is it. You know, again, we're back to remarkable what they're able to do. And I think this is just the whole head and shoulders better than Infinity War in terms of kind of what they manage. For me, you have so many different emotions. It was funny at the right times. It was serious at the right times. It was dark at the right times. It was intense at the right times. It did, I think, everything pitch perfect. So obviously there were, you know, you can pick apart any movie and say, well, you could have done this and this could have been better. Sure. But so much of what makes a movie for me enjoyable is believing the reactions of what's going on. And we know these characters so well now that it's easy to know what, you know, what they would do, what their reactions would be. And I think they hit all of them kind of.
Yeah, I think they did. I mean, this one will always have a big advantage over pretty much literally every Marvel movie in this phase right up until now, in the sense that for the first time ever, someone got to make a movie that ended. Like, there's no stinger, there's no, this was good, but now let's give you a little taste of, this is just setting up the next big thing, the next big thing, the next big thing, the next big thing. This one's, it's over. Like, it has finality to it, which is cool. And it had stakes. I don't think it had quite as many stakes as, like, I think a lot of people were expecting going in. I think the body count was a little bit lower than expected. But it was fun. It had just the right amount of, it was still a lot funnier than I think a lot of people expected it to be, but not like too funny. It had just the right amount, maybe a little too much, but just the right amount of fan service, but like clever fan service, not fan service in the sense of just like, hey, remember this thing? Hey, remember this guy? Hey, remember this? But like some really, really clever ones. Like the new elevator scene might be one of the cleverest things that like the Russo brothers have ever done. Like that was one of the first scenes of the movie where I actually kind of like sat up in my chair like, oh, what are we doing here? Like that was really well done. And they took some risks. I mean, they played it safe with a lot of different scenes, but there were definitely places they went that they took risks in. I think there was characters that had bigger roles that I don't think anyone's seen. I don't think anyone expected, oh, by the way, Karen Gillan as Nebula is going to have a huge role in Endgame. Said no one ever, and she did a really good job with it. But obviously we're going to talk about this for the whole episode, but there's an obscene amount to unpack with it. But when it's all said and done, I really enjoyed it. I won't say it's the best MCU movie ever made.
You still got Winter Soldier up there?
Yeah, Winter Soldier still probably, I don't know. It's a tie usually for me, depending on what we're talking about, between Winter Soldier and the First Avengers. And the First Avengers, partially because of how good a movie it is, but also like that movie really set in stone like the DNA of what the MCU is. Like it, Joss Whedon and those characters coming together for the first time, like that movie. I mean, obviously Iron Man started it. Winter Soldier showed that we could do some other things with it. Guardians of the Galaxy said we could do some really other things with it. But like the Avengers, I think the First Avengers is the quintessential like MCU movie.
All right. So weekend box office, over $350 million for the weekend. Set the Thursday mark.
Wait. I'm going to need you to say that one more time.
Over $350 million. Oh, you went over. I don't think I went under though either. Like I need
to go under. You were close on the push though.
I went with the push.
So I was the only one who went under, and it was a safe bet. It looked safe, right? I mean, who knew it was going to make over $100 million more than the next closest movie? And it looked safe up until like Sunday, and then Sunday they're like, "Oh no, we were wrong," because like the projection didn't really move from 300 until like late Sunday. They're like, "Nope, we were wrong. It's going to be 350." And then it ended up, what, being 357?
Yeah, so we went Sunday night, and the theater was still packed, and the way people were acting was just as if it was a Thursday night showing. The way people were responding to certain scenes and acting, it was fantastic. It was crowded. There wasn't an empty seat there, for sure. And that was a 4:30 Sunday showing, and that was one of, I think there was a 4 o'clock showing, a 5 o'clock show. Like, it was still constant showings, and it was, we talked about last time, I think it was after we recorded, I did final count. There's 43 showings just at the one local 24-plex AMC for Thursday night premiere. Like, so that continued all weekend. We talked about the 24 hours. Crazy amounts of money. But also, China opened, everywhere opened, $1.2 billion globally. First, the Russo brothers, first directors, let alone directing pair, three $1 billion movies already. Only took them the first weekend on this one to get there, and which is crazy. They all are Marvel movies, of course. But additionally, $1.2 billion. If I remember correctly, it was $640 million was the previous record set by Infinity War. That's around double.
Yeah. Sorry, for which one are we talking about?
Doubled up worldwide weekend release. They got 1.2, and I think Infinity War was, 640 or 687 or something like that. I mean, it was a big number.
Well, so like just, but like it's obviously it's going to blow through any number of other records, but just as of Monday morning, these are all the records it's broken. Largest Thursday preview, widest opening, like in the most theaters, largest Friday opening and single day opening, largest Saturday, largest Sunday, domestic opening weekend record, number one movie market share, highest per theater average, largest April opening, spring opening, PG-13 opening, 3-day gross, biggest weekend overall, fastest to 100 million, fastest to 150 million, fastest 200 million, fastest 250 million, fastest 300 million, fastest 350 million, international opening weekend record, worldwide opening weekend record, global 4DX format opening record, global 3D opening record, global IMAX opening record. Those are just the records it now owns on Box Office Mojo as of Monday morning.
So let's put one into perspective. One in perspective, particularly box office share. 9 out of 10 people that went to the movie this weekend, over 90% saw Avengers. Out of 10 people.
Yeah. So no other movie made over 10 million. And the number two movie is Captain Marvel.
Was a Marvel movie.
I would assume that's all the people who hadn't seen it before
and went and saw it and then saw it. Yeah.
And so, like, good God.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It made $8 million. So if you take the full box office into account, like over 90% of all dollars spent at the box office Thursday through Sunday was spent on a Marvel movie.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Nuts.
That, as much as we talk about the dollar records, that right there is really puts into perspective everything. Insane. So huge, huge numbers, and it's not going to stop. So the question already, and within the first 5-6 days of release, not even made it a week, and the question is already, does it pass Avatar worldwide?
Yeah, easily.
And, oh, yeah. Oh, and it's... Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. It's on the trot. What's today? Today's Tuesday. After Monday, it's now the 10th highest worldwide grossing movie of all time. So with the extra money it made to yesterday.
6 days.
So after day one, it was like the 18th or 19th highest grossing worldwide movie. It's went in one more day, is now number 10. By this weekend, it will be probably four. Like I would assume by, it'll fifth. I don't think it'll catch Infinity War until after this weekend. But like to get to fifth place, all it needs to do over the next 3 days, 4 days is make $300 more million.
Globally too. Globally. So that's, yeah. And it's open in all the big countries, which I think was a great strategy on Marvel's end to make sure there was no spoilers happening anywhere. We're just opening this everywhere at the same time. And I mean, obviously that helps the global numbers for one, but for two, it's the global numbers were going to be huge anyways. But like I said, spoiler free, because people would have rioted if one country got to see it a week early and was like, hey, this is what happened and stuff. So I don't know. Spoilers were abundant this weekend, though. Everything from sports, from athletes doing press conferences and saying spoilers in those, to actors from Avengers doing press conferences and saying spoilers in those, to obviously the internet, which is always spoiler heavy. It was, if you dodged them somehow, I don't know. I didn't see the movie, like I said, till Sunday. Luckily, I was off in the mountains, so that helped. But anytime I open Facebook or anything like or Instagram, I like put my hand over that and then just went. I'm like, I got to post these pictures of this hike. I'm going to put my hand over the feed. Just find that picture button with my thumb in the corner. And that's how we're going to do this because I didn't want to risk it. It was it's good. 3 hours. I think most people said this. I agree. It didn't feel like 3 hours. Even me, who when we get into the details about it, is going to be the one I'm going to complain about the first half of the movie. I did not like it at like almost at all, but still didn't feel like 3 hours long. It a good flow, especially on that back half. It definitely was a great, I would say it wasn't even a good finish, just not a good finish up to Infinity War. It was a great close for the first 10 years of what Marvel has done. So a lot of exciting things with that. A lot of cool things happened in it. Many, many Easter eggs. So they're all over the place. Everything from, you know, Russo brothers making appearances here and there to other people doing that. I think what was the one? There's some call outs to the comics, obviously, as there always is. Professor Hulk was great to see him like that. A lot of things for sure. But biggest surprise, I think the biggest surprise for me was seeing certain characters I didn't expect to see. So characters we didn't see in Infinity War. And I expected to see some more, but I did not expect, especially how Valkyrie came back into play and everything like that right there. I was like, wasn't expecting that. So that was kind of cool. Let's break it down, guys. Let's talk best part. What is maybe your best part of the movie, worst part of the movie? Let's go there. Easy.
I mean, best part's super easy, and it's Captain America wielding Mjolnir. Like, no problem whatsoever. Just shield, hammer, and just doing work right up until he gets beat on a little bit, but just doing work. And that, oddly enough, led me to my biggest disappointment in the movie. So we got the Cap's famous, I can do this all day, during the Cap on Cap action. I really, really, really wish they would have held that for him getting up after taking the beating from Thanos. Because, I mean, Thanos beats everybody to the point of where they don't get up. I mean, he beat the Hulk to where he wouldn't get up, beat the Hulk to where he wouldn't even show up anymore. And I just would have loved the, I can do this all day. Just stand up, shield broken, Cap just destroyed, but still being Cap, getting up, doing what he needs to do, doing the right thing. I don't have a least favorite moment, but that was maybe my biggest disappointment. I would have liked to have seen the I can do this all day there.
You don't think that would have been too on the nose?
No.
It was also the perfect moment for him to say Avengers Assemble, which he did.
Which he did. I'm okay with that too. I'm okay with that too. But I mean, maybe it would have been too on the nose, but in that moment, I was so keyed from him wielding the hammer and everything that like, it just would have, I, yeah, but I love Cap, so he's easily my favorite Avenger.
I don't know. I felt Avengers Assemble was right there just because of how many people showed up, including Howard the Duck was in there again, by the way, guys. He made another, his third Marvel movie appearance here. Howard the Duck is in that scene where all the characters show up. But I felt Avengers Assemble was right there. Tyler, thoughts? Highs and lows?
Yeah, highs are tricky. There's a lot of just really, really cool scenes. I like some of the like greatest hits clip show, like Let's Go Back in Time stuff was, I enjoyed it, but some of it was kind of like, eh. Like the lampshaded elevator scene was really good. Like that, like was a fun moment that I mentioned earlier where he pulls out the Hail Hydra. I really, really enjoyed like reliving the moment for just a moment of Star-Lord dancing to Come and Get Your Love and then coming out of the headphones and just seeing him dancing to no music and then just being like, so he's an idiot. Yeah, yeah, basically. And then they knock him unconscious. That was pretty cool. Just the moment where all the wizard portals open and everyone comes flowing out is with the On Your Left is, that was easily the most affecting moment. That was the one that like really, whew, if I was like, I didn't cry, but that was the closest I got was that scene. That got a little rough. And then things I didn't like, I mean, there wasn't a ton that I was like, that was terrible. I wish we hadn't do it. The only two scenes I will say that were felt a little, one of them like stopped the movie cold. I will at first say I super applaud the Russos to once they went Fat Thor, they didn't go back. Like they committed to that and they held it all the way through. I was waiting for him to like, at some point before they put him in the glove, like grab the reality, grab the ether and like change himself into better Thor. But like they held through it, the through line all the way through, which good on them. That was impressive. But at the same time, as much as like him looking like the dude was really fun, the scene where he is trying to like, where they call him up to like explain the ether and like where it's at and how it works. And he goes on to something about his mom and Natalie Portman and stuff was like the movie literally just like stopped. Locally, they like yanked him off screen pretty quickly after that. But that was like, it's a really awkward scene. And then the other one is we literally called back every single goddamn person who's ever shown up in a Marvel movie ever to come to Tony Stark's funeral. Where the fuck was Natasha's funeral? We had one scene of two people standing by the lake being like, yeah, I'm sad she's gone. Yeah, me too. Tony, meanwhile, we're like sending his thing out to sea and everyone's standing around looking mopey and stuff, but Natasha doesn't get a goddamn state funeral. What the fuck's that all about?
Very good point on that one, for sure. Yeah, I think the high point for me was definitely when he gets up, Broken Shield, and yeah, the Avengers Assemble. I mean, we've had 10 years and it hadn't been said on screen yet. And he said it, and with everybody, and you get everybody marching in. And what was cool there is because, honest, I don't know, like I wasn't expecting an all-out war again, like to the extent probably even greater than what we saw in Wakanda from Infinity War. We were expecting some battle. I was expecting some of these heroes to go down, but I was expecting it to be more, you know, smaller, more intimate battles. And this was all out. No, what happened in Infinity War ain't nothing about what to roll out with all these heroes. But the way it happened, the way Captain America, like you said, he had, you know, he took the beating. He was still standing after Iron Man and Thor had both already gone down. He gets up again, classic Cap, showing that he never gives up, never backs down. And that's such a callback to when he was the little scrawny kid from Brooklyn, you know, that gets up and they like stay down for that fuzzy to come in his ear, you know, on your left, to call back that too. And then everybody just starts coming through portals. And it was great too, because a lot of the complaints on Infinity War, where was, you know, where were the rest of the Asgardian characters? Where was the rest of, you know, Doctor Strange? Where was all the people? They didn't all have to be back guarding the, you know, the portals and everything like that. So everybody shows up, everybody comes in, and you get this all out war. And then the way Tony Stark finishes it with the way he started it as Iron Man, I am Iron Man. And that whole scene right there from that point going on. My least favorite part, yeah, I felt like some of the early time travel stuff was going and I was just not feeling it. I was definitely not feeling when they went to Asgard. Like you said, that scene just was like, what happened to the movie all of a sudden? And then of course, I don't know, that whole first half, like the opening sequence with Clint and his family was, let's get your emotions moving right back into it. I get it. It was fun with the new Asgard and Thor was the way he was because of how he took it. I just don't like how they did, oh, we found Thanos, let's kill him, it's done. And then, oh, flash later. And then I felt it moved slow with just a bunch of jokes. But it turned for, like, I can't really pick out, I guess, in particular too on many things, but it turned definitely when you had Black Widow and Hawkeye going to get the Soul Stone, because you knew if anybody was paying enough attention, you knew one of them wasn't coming back at that point. And it was long, long before they even got there. You're like, oh, those two are going there. Yeah. This doesn't end well for somebody. I don't know. It was definitely great. And again, that I just think that ending action sequence was everything that something to wrap up 10 years worth of movie and characters needed to be. So biggest surprise, what character were you not expecting at all? I mean, obviously besides Howard the Duck or Little Ones, but what character that had a significant enough role were you not expecting to be in it?
I mean, it wasn't a significant role, I wouldn't say, but like, or it was a significant role, but the moment wasn't super significant, but they've teased it so many times. I never really thought it was going to happen, but then Pepper Potts sure as hell shows up in the rescue armor and yes. it was real cool. But I mean, there wasn't anyone they didn't get back. Natalie Portman was there. Renee Russo was there. Like literally everyone came back for their moment in the sun, which was really cool.
I guess one that jumped out at me was Jarvis when they go back to 1970. I mean, so that's your first TV character in a Marvel movie. All the rest of them have been shown up in a Marvel movie first and then been moved over to the TV. But he's the first one to make it from the TV to a Marvel movie. So pretty cool. I don't think anybody did anything that was unexpected. I would have liked to have seen from, you know, Black Panther and Spider-Man probably in that final scene. They both have big parts, but it's just a continuation of one part, really. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more there, but that's about it. I really liked what they did do with Spider-Man and his kill first initiative or whatever mode he's got there.
Put it into kill mode for the, like, yeah. the funny joke from the first movie, they may actually, he gets to turn it on.
Right. Yeah. So I think that was really funny. And then the fact that he, you know, doesn't do anything, he just stands there murdering people that are trying to get to him is pretty great too. So, and maybe it's just that Tom Holland in that character, in that role is so perfect that I just want more of that. And I know we're going to get more of that soon, but I just want more Tom Holland as Spider-Man and, Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa.
Honestly enough, I mean, Vision was a character you could bring back. And we talked about did she finish, you know, recreating the stone in Infinity War? What happened there is, oh, when he dies, he goes to gray. So is that a call out to him becoming the White Vision in the comics and all that stuff? But no, he's permanently gone.
He's still got a TV show though.
That's, yeah.
So they haven't said whether or not that'll be a prequel or a sequel or.
We still got a Black Widow movie coming, but I'm going to assume that's the origin.
I feel like that they've been very clear as I think it'll be a prequel, but also they got Robert Redford back. That was
right. Dope. Right. So I felt, to me, some of the surprise ones were definitely those ones in time, those smaller ones, especially Natalie Portman. You mentioned her name already. The big thing now, there is
because. Actually back or were those the scenes from the movie?
It was hard to tell because she's in it very little.
Right.
But there's at least like one scene that like kind of feels like she was actually there. But
So she did. She did film the new scene to where Rocket was getting ready to chase her. That scene was not in the movie and it was confirmed that she did film it. And the reason I think, and the reason you guys are asking questions for anybody that's not clear on this, Natalie Portman's departure from the Marvel Universe was, everybody was under the impression it was not a happy ending. She was not pleased with her role. She was not pleased with the whole thing and all that. So that's why there was no Jane Foster, and that it was not expected that she would have been written out the way she was, because they thought they'd have more of her. So for her to come back, I think is why it was such a surprise, because Portman wasn't a fan of what was happening there, at least with her character. Again, to what extent? At the same time, you're like, man, this has been 10 years of how many people that she probably knows and how many people she had built relationships with in the first couple of Thor, like how many things going on. It's definitely interesting.
Chris Hemsworth shows up on your doorstep with that just grinning like, hey, you want to come be in a movie with me? Like, I feel like you say yes, right? I mean, I'd say yes,
but yeah, I don't know, but she was a big one for sure. And I think the Pepper Potts one, I was excited to see it, but it was a giveaway. I think back when they were still filming Infinity War, the pictures came out of her with the green suit on to the mocap suit to be able to do the armor. And then we definitely get a tease about it early in the movie with Tony Stark having the little Morgan that he talked about. And
Mommy never wears anything I buy her.
Right?
like even dad. Joking about how they haven't got Beberbots into the armor before.
I think that was such key that he comes into play and he's like, look, we got really lucky. And him and Pepperbots have that conversation about luck. And it's under the impression that this is going to be the way it is. We're not canceling what also we got out of it. And I thought that was huge because so many times when you're looking at this, you're like, you're going to go reset it from where it was. But you've already created 5 years of history for other people. And you have to think beyond just your main characters, beyond Tony and Pepper and all them. There's other people that had rebuilt, had built families, had, you know, saved things. So allowing that to be a part of it too, I thought was pretty cool. But it was definitely very foreshadowing when Tony's like, he's not going to die for this. And it's like, you're going to die for this.
Yeah. I don't want to like, I feel like they kind of touched on it a tiny bit, but they like with specifically with like Scott and his daughter, but I obviously it was a really long ass movie and there was a lot of stuff to fit in there, but I don't know if in later movies they'll touch on it, or I wish they would have explored a little bit more like the whole, it was like, we didn't fix the snap. We just brought back a bunch of dead people who have been dead for 5 years. And we did it because the Avengers wanted their friends back, but like, there's a lot of people who straight up moved on. I don't know if they want everyone. Does everyone want everyone coming back? Also
3.75 million.
And I don't want to get all
billion people came back.
In the words of Jeff Daniels and Looper, like, don't try to figure out the time travel stuff. It just fucks with your mind. Like, I don't want to get all like plot holy and nitpicky because it's a Marvel movie. There's going to be weird, stupid plot holes that can always be explained by the equivalent of a wizard did it or the Infinity Stones did it. So like when they do this, they bring everyone back with the snap. They clearly all got brought back where they originally were, because like Stephen Strange and Spider-Man and all the Guardians come obviously back from Titan. Like they portal in from Titan. We saw a lot of like airplanes and helicopters crash at the end of Infinity War. I mean,
there was a lot of people falling out of the air at that moment.
Did we snap a lot of people? But I mean, it's the Infinity Gauntlet. You kind of do whatever you want. He was trying to bring back Natasha at the same time, so I'm sure everything was fine. But also, I think there's a lot of things to explore there when shit ton of people got brought back 5 years, you know, like who haven't aged at all in the last 5 years. So
yeah,
especially like in the next Spider-Man movie, like did every single, but it just luckily that Flash and MJ and Ned and pretty much everyone else he knew like also got snapped, so he still has all the same classmates when he comes back to school. They didn't all like graduate and go to college.
A lot obviously that you could pick at it to unpack there and stuff too, but
those aren't complaints. Those are just things I've been thinking about over the last
couple of years. No, for sure, the economical impact of the world adjusting already to 5 years of half this population, then they're all back, or the fact that you know, Clint Hawkeye had obviously been paying his wife's phone bill for 5 years because she was able to call him immediately. So it's no, there's a lot of stuff to it for sure. But I thought it was a powerful moment for sure to have that right after the snap that Hulk does to bring back everybody. You get the phone ringing because Clint obviously was the one who they were putting really in our face of how hard he took it. And he takes on the Ronin identity that the casual moviegoer may not have known, but that is what he does in the comics after the loss of family members. He goes really dark assassin and is referred to as Ronin because he's definitely a different Clint. And they make reference to it early when Scarlett Johansson is leading the new Avengers, I guess would be who they are when in the post snap world. So it's a lot to unpack. And I think that was why there's that line of don't try to overthink it. Don't try to overdo the time travel. They make it very clear earlier in the movie because it's like, we have to reset some things and none of it's going to be perfect. So let's just go with it and let's be happy about it. I don't know. They did it really well. It's crazy to think that, I don't know, 5 years ago, definitely 10 years ago, would we have as comic fans believed that they could have recreated into some capacity, the Infinity Saga from the comics, the snap to the everything else, the fix through time travel, Nebula being a key player to actually making it happen on screen this successfully and this highly loved. I mean, look at the numbers. It's so they did it.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like that to me is the callback to that first Avengers of there's no way they'll be able to pull that off. Like, how can we tie in all of that stuff? And Jesus, and this is just that to the nth degree, because now it's not just tying in like a couple of movies. It's tying in a decade worth. Was it 21 other films, 22 total with Endgame. So it's wild what they accomplished And I'm with you, Iggy, how they accomplished it, how well they accomplished it kind of throughout the entire movie.
Yeah. And part of that was we talked about the lower body count, and I feel that was important. And we talked about the idea once it found out it was time travel, it makes sense for Captain America to do what he did. Because you can't really just kill off the big three. But there's also the counter to that. We knew for a fact, Hemsworth, Evans, Robert Downey Jr., they were done. Their contracts were up. They weren't interested. At some point, Hemsworth did drop the line that, I can make cameos. Like, I'm fine playing Thor. I just don't want it to be as much. We knew Cap and Iron Man were out. We didn't really get that warning with Black Widow. Like, we knew some of the other contracts were up. We knew, Ruffalo's contracted run and Scarlett Johansson's. But with the Black Widow movie coming, all that, and even if it's been hinted that's the origin story and everything, I didn't really get that. And considering the role she has played and where she does in the post-snap environment kind of take over as a leader, it seems very likely she could be set up as the new leader of the Avengers. And she's the first to go down. Like, she's the first to go down in a very serious way and in a very honorable way too. And the reference back to Budapest between her and Clint. And it was good that they sent them two together because it had to be something you love. And them two had shared an extreme history is what the movies had hinted to us many a times. And, she makes the move, and you know what? I'm going to be honest, Tyler. I didn't even think about that. Where the hell was her funeral? Yeah. Where was her funeral? Like, yeah, I didn't even think about it.
We got Wanda. No, was it?
It was Wanda and Clint on the.
Wanda and Clint being like, oh yeah, I miss her. Yeah, me too. All right. Well.
Well, I think, it was good to have them too, because he says he misses her. And then Wanda kind of acknowledges, I think they both know that it happened, to also kind of pay homage to Vision. Yeah. So obviously why they had those two together, because both had lost. I mean, if Clint wasn't married with the kids, that would have been the love interest they probably would have built there because of their history, right? Like, so yeah. You have, like you said, everybody. That's where you see Nick Fury again. That's where you see everybody at the funeral.
You see the kid from Iron Man 3.
Yeah, at Iron Man's funeral, at Tony Stark's funeral. And man, let's talk a little bit about that. The power behind that. Everybody, even though we knew that deaths could maybe not all of them die, everything, everybody knew coming into this that had been paying attention, Iron Man's dying. They've been foreshadowing this since Iron Man 3. Every time him and Captain America have been angry at each other, Cap has called him out, asking him if he's the guy that's going to be able to do that. Is he the one that he can put on his shoulders? He saw, all of them dead, and he even references that in the movie in Age of Ultron. And then, of course, the whole way Spider-Man goes down and he has to bring him back. The death was coming. The way they did it was fantastic. And the way, it's not even the way Peter Parker comes up to him all upset. Like, that's predictable. You saw that. The way Pepper handles it and allows him, I'll tear up thinking about it, man. It is a powerful, powerful scene. But it's even more powerful how he addresses it to his daughter afterwards and the fact that he's leaving the daughter behind. And wow, like, it was just so well done. It was an impact, and then setting off the proof that Tony has a heart, to see there. It was a great sequence. They did it right for sure.
Oh yeah. He got his due 100%. And I mean, you're right, Tyler, like why didn't we get something similar? Like, obviously you can't.
Or just give us one big funeral. That's very clearly for everyone who died.
Right. Yeah. That would work. Cause as I say, you can't do two funerals because they steal from each other.
That's a lot of casseroles.
Well, listen, if Lord of the Rings can have 17 endings, God damn it, Endgame can too.
Oh, well, yes, the Blu-ray will. Like, I don't think you have to worry about that. I'm sure there will be four different versions and three different endings, and good God, they'll have everything. I think you've seen the joke already about the special edition coming with 73 Blu-rays and all 14 million 604 other alternate endings Strange saw. So yeah, they'll have a bunch. I don't doubt.
I just want to throw this out here. Like, one character who is in the movie for about this long, but I just want to mention, and maybe it's just the curse of the origin story. Like, I love Doctor Strange so much more now that he's been in movies that weren't Doctor Strange. Like, him in the two Endgame movies, him in the two Infinity War movies, plus Ragnarok, I like him a lot more than I did when he was in his own movie.
Well, I think the huge part about Infinity War, and then we even saw even further with Scarlet Witch in this one, is Infinity War, and we talked about it last year podcasting, you get the full extent finally of Doctor Strange, Wanda, and Thor even, his powers. And Thor, we'd seen a lot from already because we'd seen him in a lot of movies, but he comes in, I ain't even fucking care. Like, he's just throwing the lightning around like it ain't nothing. But Doctor Strange, it, you know, Wanda we had just seen in kind of supporting capacity, and Doctor Strange, like you said, it was the origin story. We'd seen him really at that point. And then you get them in Infinity War doing their thing. And then Wanda right here taking head-to-head with Thanos. And it's like, I don't, for people that don't realize, like, it's, I kept saying, like, this is one of your most powerful Marvel characters. Like, when you look at two of them in there, and that's why you, neck breathers, whoever you want to, you can, mouth breathers, excuse me, you can be.
Mouth breathers, neck beards.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, both of them. Anyway, so you can be mad about these female characters, but no, your two strongest characters in there, your two strongest heroes, Captain Marvel and Scarlet Witch. And they pulled some weight, even though you want to talk about a small role, a lot smaller than we thought it was going to be, Captain Marvel. She still comes in like a, she came in like a wrecking ball. We'll just put it that way.
I feel like she is a little bit too much. And like, you couldn't use her a ton because she's only been in one movie. She doesn't, we don't have room for her in this. Like, we got to do other stuff, but she definitely was a little bit of a deus ex in this, where it was like, well, she's been gone for all these years. Now she's back. She's here for like a hot second while we kill Thanos. Then she leaves again and doesn't show up until literally the last second, like, oh, by the way, and it just fucking wrecks everything. And almost had Thanos, like, done for the count until he, like, the move where he, like, pops the Power Stone out and catches it and then uses it to punch her in the face was kind of cool.
It was very cool.
There was some great, like I said, that whole action sequence, like, from the fight scene when you get, when he lands on Earth and you get the three, you know, your three Avengers that were going out fighting him hand-to-hand, like you said, you know, getting, you know, Captain America showing his worthiness to everything from, the only thing that was kind of about it in that whole sequence was the, are we playing hot potato here? Are we playing, what do you call it? We're doing a relay race to get that gauntlet over there. So it was, the one question I have, I still have an open question on this. I enjoyed the scene. Obviously, some people, and we'll say people lightly, are already complaining about it when Peter Parker gets the gauntlet and then almost every single woman hero comes to defend him.
No, I'm it wasn't him. So he had it for a minute and then it gets passed from him to, is it Captain Marvel who gets it? Or is it Captain Marvel who's carrying
Captain,
it?
Captain Marvel gets
it. And then they're like,
he asks, how are you going to get all the way across all of that?
Oh, that's right.
Or she says, how are you going to get across it like alone? And then one of the other, like Pepper, someone says she's not alone. And then every single major female character is behind him. I don't have a problem with it. As soon as I saw it, it just, all I could think of is, man, there's going to be a lot of
pissed right, off. Exactly.
That's at the same time, like, it was a little bit on the nose, but I love it because it was purposely on the nose to just tell those guys to go fuck themselves.
So that's,
and I applaud
exactly.
That.
Right.
So my question that the question I was trying to get at there was like, I want to know how late that scene was added. Like, was that added post Captain Marvel, like, freak the fuck out of people and stuff? Like, I want to know when they said, oh, we're going to do this to piss off. Because like you said, that was definitely put in there with the reason to say, fuck you. Like, to those guys that are complaining about the women.
Because without that context, it does seem a little, like, odd. Like, not odd, but not in a good, bad way. It's just, it's like, that's kind of on the nose. But at the same time, like, you know what? We've had enough fucking white male superheroes. Like, let them fucking do it. And it's a powerful scene. It's cool. All those characters are badass, even though, like, the Wasp has no idea who the fuck any of those people, like, none of those people have even interacted with each other in a movie before. So it was, I mean, the scene, though, works so well because it was straight up like a, oh, yeah, no, you right there. Fuck you. Go write in your angry ass blog about this one. You piece of
shit. That was great. It was great. And I loved it. And that's why I'm like, I can't wait for the commentary because I feel like director commentary, there is definitely going to be a statement somewhere around that scene saying, oh yeah, this is why we did this, this is when we added it, and this was the reason why, for sure. So it was good. I liked the whole thing there too. All right, so we talked about Tony Stark's death. Obviously the other big dismissal was Captain America. I had been saying from the get-go, if he stays back in time, you gotta give him that dance. He's gotta dance with her. Didn't go down exactly how I thought it would. I two things. He chose to stay back in time. I thought it would have been more heroic, more Captain America style move if he would have been had to make the choice of like, no, Tony, you're going back, I'll stay because there's only one of us that can go back. And additionally, just for the fans, I would have liked it if he would have walked into that office on her and asked her for the dance, as opposed to us just seeing a dance in the house later. Because I felt like with her dropping like her files or something, like that would have been a great moment. But either way, we get the dance, we get him back in time. He gets to live his life. He's got the ring on his finger. When he hands the shield to, it is Falcon. That debate was already out there with him not coming back. Was it going to be Falcon or Winter Soldier? I think most people knew it was probably leaning Falcon because Sebastian Stan loves being Winter Soldier, first of all. And that was a great sequence. I loved how it happened. I loved that we didn't see him die at the hand of Thanos, you know, because like I said, we didn't need all those major characters to die. I thought that it was great because also for how many years now, it's all been about him not finding anybody else and still having his heart belonging, you know, to Miss Carter. I mean, there.
He was Sharon there for a minute.
For a hot minute.
Listen, don't hate on Sharon Carter. She's a badass.
I'm not hating on her. I'm just saying it was a very short minute. I don't even think that was a full 60 seconds. Point being, you know, it was his heart always belonged in one place, and we knew that's where it had to go. So I felt that was a great way to close out Captain America's run.
Lines up exactly what you'd want. It's the, no, I won't love you for the rest of your life. I'll love you for the rest of my life. And his life was a good deal longer.
I think the only, like, we talk about, like, you know, fuck the timeline or Back to the Future is bullshit. And, like, they list off all those movies. Hot Tub Time Machine even gets a mention. But the one thing I will talk about is they talk about, like, the ancient ones, like, yeah, but if you don't bring the stone back, then this timeline's fucked. And this, we have to have this here, and we have to put the hammer back there, and you have to put this stone back there. Him staying back in time, that's fine. Like, I don't need to fuck with the plot hole for that one. Like, he can do whatever he needs to do. I do think we do need to consider how fucked up is the timeline where they lost the Tesseract to Loki and he just fucking dips out.
So that was great.
How fucked is that timeline?
So you want to talk about some fan service there. When Loki was killed in Infinity War and the Russo brothers like, no, he's dead. There's no, like, it was a snap. He's not resurrecting this time. And Thanos even says no resurrections this time. Fans were not happy about that. People love Tom Hiddleston as Loki. And they definitely found a loophole there. So they went back in time to try to grab the Tesseract that time.
Is that the basis of his
show?
His series is,
that's what I was thinking.
Like,
yeah,
the start of his series is him Tesseracting somewhere. Like,
yeah, that's one thing that I think could be interesting with like a next Ant-Man movie or some of the other Guardian stuff was all the fuckery that they did in this movie an excuse to be like, this is all kind of played out. Let's start opening up some other, let's leave Earth 616 and do some interdimensional bullshit. Like, oh no, there's like some What If comics, like the equivalent of What If comics. So this is Earth number 1027 where Loki got the Tesseract back and escape and did whatever the hell he did, which would be kind of interesting. Oh, that was one Easter egg I did notice that I thought was pretty funny at the very beginning when you see the scene where they pan to Luis's van sitting in the like storage room where the security guard is what was it, King Jung was the, anyway, he's in that the vault number, he like the cell or like the storage unit number he was in was number 616, which I thought was pretty cool. That was a fun little Marvel Easter egg
for sure. There was plenty of them there too. I was just trying to, while you're saying that, I was looking up too, we talk about what's ahead. Marvel did tease at some of them. And it includes a new Silver Surfer movie, new Fantastic Four movie as well in the works. So they're gonna write that wrong, that's for sure.
So this is a bigger conversation for us down the road, but I think there's no eclipsing this peak. Like, this is the peak of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. At some point, I know we've been saying it for years, you know, superhero fatigue and some movies dip and dive and do worse than others and stuff like that. Is this the, I'm not saying that the next few aren't going to make a money, like Spider-Man's going to make a shit ton of money. Like, I'm not saying that it's happening yet, but like eventually this franchise will start to see diminishing returns, I would assume. Like this, I don't know that they'll ever make a movie that will be as big a deal or make as much money or have like the cachet that this one has, like the culmination of the first 10 years and 22 movies of this. Like, how soon do you start to see a dip, or do you see a big dip immediately now that all these characters are gone? And does it take a while to build back up for people to get invested with new characters? Because honestly, like, they've teased a lot of stuff, but outside of Far From Home, like, there's not really like a titled movie with a release date outside of Far From Home. Like, we know there'll eventually be a Black Widow movie. We know they're working on an Eternals movie. There'll definitely be a new Black Panther, a new Doctor Strange. There'll be another Ant-Man. There'll be another Guardians. Like, we know those are coming at some point in the future, but they don't have hard dates. They're not in production. They don't have release dates. They're fast-tracking the Shang-Chi movie. But, like, they have to be willing to, like, start over, change the game, cast all new people, like, do some other stuff. Like, is it going to take them a while to ramp back up again? Or is this just the beginning of, like, a big... Have we hit the mountaintop and now everything's kind of downhill for here for the foreseeable future?
I think this is the mountaintop. And yeah, you could say it's a downward slope. I still think, you know, Far From Home is going to kill it.
Oh, it'll be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be no problems there. And I think when we see Guardians of the Galaxy 3, especially with James Gunn being back on it, people are going to show up to support James Gunn just as much as they're going to be ready to see it. Cause I also think, for those that, you know, weren't paying attention, Gamora wasn't back permanently. That wasn't the Gamora that got to stick around.
So here's the question. Like, I don't know how much thought Tony put into his snap. Did he snap everyone from the past back? Did he snap just the bad guys? Like, is she back and back? Did she get sent back to her timeline or what?
So that's a great question, because
she couldn't snap her though, because she was the stone.
No, she came.
And you can't change that. So she is she's the Gamora from then.
So she goes, I think, with the rest of Thanos' crew. And when you get back on the ship and Thor gets on the ship with the Guardians, you don't see her. But I feel like I feel like there's the Easter egg sitting there to probably set up a plot point for Guardians of the Galaxy 3 of their searching for Gamora, because that's what Peter's going to be looking. So that's the question. Like, are we searching for Gamora since she wasn't back? Is Thor, maybe Chris Hemsworth wants back on here because he jumped on the bat. He wanted to hang out with that rabbit some more.
Is he in now? Well, and here's the other thing. Like, how much of this was planned out ahead of time? Like, how much did this know, like, they were going to go this way with Thor, we're going to go this way with Gamora? Because, like, up until, like, even before they rehired James Gunn, like, they had committed, like, James Gunn already had a script written and they were going to use it. So, like, is this stuff already written, or have they made changes now, or he's going to have to rewrite it? But at the same time, like, people are going to come out to watch Guardians of the Galaxy and people are going to support it. Guardians of the Galaxy, at best, will come out in 2.5, maybe 3 years. He's making Suicide Squad, which doesn't come out until next year, which then he'll have to start pre-production, production and stuff. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy is a long ways away. Black Panther's a ways away. Doctor Strange is a ways away. Like, we get Spider-Man now, and then there isn't another movie on the books yet. Like, we don't have a release date
for 2020.
They don't want to announce. They probably have dates internally, but they don't want to announce it till. It was going to be after this, but now they're talking about after Spider-Man, which is around July. So I'm feeling like we're going to see some Hall H announcements again this year out at San Diego, talking a little bit about it. Because the Eternals and Black Widow, what's the other one? You mentioned it earlier.
Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi, thank you. They're already at some level, like pre-production or something. They may not be in full-blown production, but those are the next three that they're ready to roll out.
And I mean, like, they have directors hired, they have scripts written, they have things going, but, or do they even take a break? They're like, there's this Far From Home, and then we just, like, they just, like, go silent for a while and just...
I don't think they can. I don't think they want to. It's Disney. They want that money.
Dude, they still have a Star Wars movie this year. They've got Aladdin. They've got a Toy Story movie this year. They'll be fine.
God, I'm so excited for so much of what Disney's doing this year. But I don't know. There is a lot, and there's a lot to unpack here, and that's a great, probably secondary conversation. What do you do here? Because it's a great point, Tyler. This is it. Like, you're not gonna close out the next phase, you know, of movies, of 8 to 10 years worth of movies, and get the same success you're gonna see with this one, unless they do something so wildly different. It's a game changer. Right? What we've seen each time when the box office gets destroyed, we've seen a game changer. Avatar was the way the movie was done. What James Cameron did with the 3D, the way he uses 3D, the way he does things, was a game changer. People went and saw Avatar, not because of the plot, but because of what it was doing in cinema. This is a game changer. We just talked about it. Bringing the snap to screen, bringing this many characters together in one movie. This is stuff that hadn't been done. Now you can't just keep doing it again and expecting to just blow people's minds. And that's the concept. It's always the question of, well, if you go watch The Matrix now, no, you've seen it a million times already. It's not as special, right?
And not even just from a, like, scope and, like, the number of characters and stuff, but, like, it's time to start trying. Like, obviously, it's hard to not do origin stories, especially now that they've played out so many well-known characters. Like the Eternals, it has to be an origin story. How else the fuck do you explain to anyone who the Eternals are? You know, like how do you explain to anyone who Shang-Chi is? But at the same time, like you can't keep raising the stakes anymore. Like I think of some of the more recent successful ones, like one of the like Ant-Man and the Wasp, or some of those were Doctor Strange. Like they had, I mean, they were big stakes, but they were self-contained stakes as far as a story. It wasn't, this is the end of the universe and the world as we know it. Like we've done that one now enough times. We've saved the Earth now from the Chitauri and from Ultron and from, you know, this and from that and the Dark Elves and what, like, you know, you can only play that card so many times where it's like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, yeah, they're going to save the Earth again. Hooray. Like, I think they need to focus on some smaller stories, some more self-contained stories to try and build their way back up to where.
Well, I think that's what they're going to, I think that's exactly what they're going to do. So you're talking about how they move from here. I think you definitely see a dip down. I don't think it's a continual slide. I don't think we've reached superhero fatigue or anything like that, but I think you definitely see a plateau back down to what we'll call reasonable hundreds of millions of dollars. And like you said, they're going to do just fine money-wise. But if you're looking at, if they've already announced that we're coming out with, you're getting a Silver Surfer movie, you're getting a Fantastic Four movie, you've got all the other Fox people coming in, you've got another Guardians movie that could set it up. I mean, it really feels like the next big bad that brings everybody together has got to be Galactus, right?
Well, at the same time, we're talking Eternals, we're talking Guardians, we're talking a Nova movie, and we've been waiting for. Yeah, in like I said, you've got to move past Earth. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, I think Galactus is a tricky one to build until they've somehow. I think they still have to wait a while before they can bring in the Fantastic
Four. Don't make him a freaking storm in space. Like,
well, I know. I'm just saying you can't. It's hard to do Galactus without the Fantastic Four, and they got to wait a while before they take another crack at Fantastic Four. I think you got to let that one settle for a minute. But I think Annihilation story would be a good one. Annihilus would be interest. They could do that one. There was a tease in one of the Guardians of the Galaxies of Adam Warlock. Like they've teased Adam Warlock could be.
Teased him heavy. Like they're just like, we're waiting on that for sure.
I think Kang would be a cool one. I think Kang would be a super cool villain. I don't know who else would be fun. Who's another one who's big enough to threaten the world? They're bringing Nightmare apparently in the next Doctor Strange, which would be really cool. So I don't know. It would be interesting to see where they go.
But I think you're right. That's what I was saying is I think you get
Doctor a lot Knight of, would be cool.
Yeah. I think you get a lot of high stakes, but on a personal level for the hero movies, almost like a monster of the week for a TV show where they're just like, hey, this is important, but it's not like world ending important. And it builds back up to what we get. Cause that's what you had to start with, right? So you had Cap saving us from Red Skull. You had Iron Man saving us from himself, essentially. And I mean, that's kind of where we started, and this is where we ended. And so you've got to take that time to tell those stories, to introduce those characters and get us to a place where they can all be together.
Yeah. I think it's square one again, like you guys are saying, let's get Spider-Man Far From Home and let's tie it into other things just with a fun credit stinger and leave it there for a few years to where they're just credit stingers where we see a new character that's going to be in the next movie. And then eventually build up to that, those big things again. So, all right. So I think you kind of hit on it as we close here. Tyler talked about it. Definitely a top five, which out of 22 movies, that's good positioning for it. Adam, top five, top 10, where you got it in your.
Oh gosh. It's right up there. I mean, it might, I'm really bad at movie lists because it depends on the day you catch me.
That's fair. That's fair.
And all of my movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Captain America is so far and away my favorite that, you know, you're looking at First Avenger, Winter Soldier, Civil War, this movie, probably the original right. Avengers. You catch me on any given day and you're probably getting one of those five is what my favorite Marvel movie is. So it's right there in that conversation. Whereas I really enjoy like Thor Ragnarok, but I'm not going to say it. You're not going to catch me on a day where that's my favorite Marvel movie.
That's fair. Thor Ragnarok's definitely, I'd say, top five when you ask what are your funniest Marvel movies for
sure. Oh, yeah. It's maybe the most enjoyable, and I have no problem saying that, but it's not my favorite.
So I mean, yeah, it's hard. The biggest thing about the, not only is it Captain Marvel, or I'm sorry, Captain America. I don't know. I've said that multiple times. Not only is it Captain America, but it's the Rocketeer Captain America, basically. And then it's a straight spy movie with Winter Soldier. Like you get two wildly different, very not typical super, not, well, I mean, I don't want to say not typical with the Rocketeer, but it was very much, oh, this is bringing me back to my childhood here. There's some nostalgia kicking in with a brand new movie, right? But those are definitely up there for sure. Again,
that had to be one of the most inspired hires that Kevin Feige made, was like, you know what I want First Avenger to feel like? You guys remember the Rocketeer? Fuck, let's just go hire that guy.
Right? Though, seriously. And as soon as we knew that, I don't think we were at all, we were all super excited. None of us were worried about that project. We're like on board 100%. And it definitely had that feel to it. So it's a good movie. But as always, you can let us know in the comments wherever you find us what you thought about Avengers Endgame. Obviously, if you are sharing your comments on especially things like social media and stuff like that, do please keep your spoilers limited and respect others, as it has only been a week. And if you made it all the way through this and just now realized we spoiled the hell out of it for you, should have listened to the first sentence. Other than that, again, comments on projectnerd.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and so much more. Spotify, obviously, the Nerdcast. And it is May, where we'll be rolling out a bunch of our new podcasts, as we've mentioned the past couple weeks. New great content for you to check out. So please come join us, join our new voices, join our new shows, and let us know what you think about that. But I'm going to close this up here for this special Endgame recap. If you have anything more to say about it, we'll continue to talk to you guys in the comments about it, because we have a lot to say about it, that's for sure. But time is up. So with that, till next time, stay nerd time, stay nerd channel. We'll catch you in 193. I forgot the number at the end. Oh, well.
Son of a bitch!
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of the Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.